You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his thigh's knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Marco Bill here, and how's everybody tonight? Well, we survived another week of weather. It seems like the weather is just going nuts again. A lot of problems out there, and a lot of places that don't normally get frozen over got frozen over. South Carolina fairly well, and it's wreaking havoc on power and everything else, but it's also wreaking havoc on our friend Bigfoot. lots of activity going on. I get lots of calls, and I think these weather changes are an indicator of what's happening. Well, we got a pretty big lineup tonight, and I don't want to waste any time, but I would like to wish one of our young researchers, Christian, I'd like to wish him a happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday, and wish him a happy birthday today. And I hope everything turned out right for him. We're gonna talk to Christian here at the end of the show. When we open it up for everybody, he's got some other things that have happened, and I told him to come on and show and talk to us about it. But our first guest tonight We're going to go out here to Tennessee, and we're going to talk to Kevin. Kevin, how are you tonight?
Hey.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Well, Kevin, you had a kind of an extraordinary experience. I guess it was in your younger days, right?
Yeah, I'd say I was 12 or 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you give us a rundown of the whole thing? Don't leave anything out.
Okay.
And tell us what happened.
Well, we lived out in the country, and me and my brother, we spent a lot of time on the creek when our dad wasn't having us in the garden or something around the house. We built little log cabins in the woods with, you know, rotten trees and stuff. And well, one day we went down to the place that's called the Blue Hole. It's a bridge, and it's like a creek, and we'd go down there swimming and fishing and stuff. And up the road, just a little ways, on the left-hand side going towards my house, there was a barn where the, you know, they put like the new calves they was raising, had them in separate pens. Well, we heard one hollering, and when we was coming up out of the creek, you know, got up on the road and started walking towards the house, we could hear it hollering, and I thought maybe it was stuck in a fence or a cage up there or something, you know, and got to walking up there, and when we got up there, we seen something over in the pen, and it was undescribable, you know, it was just something that it was hard for us to believe, you know, what we was seeing. But it was this creature that was, I mean, just huge, enormous, and had manly features, but also ape features. And it had a hold to the calf. That's why the calf was hollering. And when it seen us, it let go of the calf. It come out on the road, and it turned around and looked at us, and it was face-to-face with us. And this thing was a reddish color, like a reddish-brown, and its face was like a cream brownish color, had a white patch on its chest. We were probably, I would say, 12, 15 yards from it, and this thing was enormous. I mean, it was huge. We was, you know, even from that distance, you know, we was having to look up at it. And it made like a mock, I don't know if you call it a mock charge or what you call it, it made like a grunt noise at us. And then it just took off. It went across the fence. And this thing put one foot over the fence and then put one other foot over a 5-strand barbed wire fence. I mean, this thing had a heck of a stride to be able to do that, because the fence had to be every bit of 4 foot tall, now that I think of it. I'm older now. And he went down through the field, and he got to the edge of the woods, and he stopped, and he looked back at us, and then he went on down off in the woods. And, you know, I'm 39 years old now, and that face and that memory is just burnt in my head, you know, and there was, I kept it in, and you know, because I didn't want to tell a lot of people, because I, you know, thought people would think I was crazy. And of course, I've told my wife and kids, and you know, like I said, I take it to the grave. I know what I saw, and my brother was with me, and you know, he's the same way about it, you know. And there's no doubting what it was at that time when we was 12, 13 years old. There wasn't no such thing as somebody making makeup that good or anything else, and there's no man going to come out in the woods to make a prank. It's got a 4-foot stride that can go over a fence like that. So, you know, it was obvious, there's no doubt that what we saw was a Bigfoot. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this thing, to look at it, it was so, I mean, it was too real to be anything made up. When you look at its hands, you look at its face, it was all moving just like we do. I mean, it just, you could tell it was actually something living. It wasn't a makeup or no costume. This thing was real.
And, can I ask you a question, Keith? Kevin, did when you saw the face, you said it was kind of like a cream color,
yeah,
or a tan.
Yeah.
And was the features more flat on it? Not ape-like,
yeah,
but human-like.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of flat. He had some wrinkles on his face.
Yeah.
Kind of pudgy cheeks, like sunken eyes, a little bit, like a big nose. not a nose that really stuck out like ours. It was more like monkey-like, you know, like gorilla-like.
Like a flat nose, right?
Yeah. Big mouth. I mean, like I said, his cheeks wasn't real puffy. They were just, you know, just had a little bit of puffiness to them. And like I said, he had wrinkles all over his face. His eyes just looked so human. I mean, that's the thing. His eyes didn't look like an ape. They just looked real human to me. They were big, but they looked real human. And, you know, I remember his hands. He had real long, you know, fingers, big hands, and they were like that color. They were like the color of his face. Of course, he had long fur on the backside of his hands. And
sure.
I can remember seeing his toes. Had fur all the way down the top of his feet, but I could see his toes.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. You got a good look.
It was an amazing thing. We had time to actually check this thing out. And I could tell that this thing wasn't going to hurt us because it could have tore us apart if it wanted to.
Oh, absolutely.
It was docile. I mean, it wanted to be out of our way is basically the way I take it today. And now that I look back on it, it just wanted to have its room and us have our room. You know, I mean, like I said, if this thing wanted to, it could have easily tore us apart. And it was just, you know, it's one of them things that I don't care if anybody believes me or not. I know what I've seen. I mean, I put my hand on the Bible and swear to it. You know, I take a lie detector test. I do whatever because I know what I've seen, and there's no doubt about it, you know.
Yeah, well, we know the burden. What happens, Kevin, is many, many, many people, not just you, but many, many, many people that I've interviewed have the same problem, and they try to tell people that they've seen it, and even the closest family members, others, they won't believe it. Now,
yeah.
There are some that will, but most don't. And they'll try to say that it's something else, that it isn't,
yeah.
Or that you didn't see, you saw, any excuse other than what you saw when you describe what you saw. Because I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the way that people react. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, I mean we don't like you know we don't have nothing here. The biggest animal we have here is a whitetail. I'm a whitetail hunter.
Yeah.
I've been a whitetail hunter about all my life. We don't have nothing that you could mistake this thing for. We don't have bears. We don't have, you know, anything of that measure. The only thing we have that's big, it's in the woods, is whitetail deer, you know.
Sure.
I mean, and it's 100% that way. I've hunted all my life. I've never seen nothing else in the woods, and I've got buddies that hunt. They've never seen nothing else in the woods, you know.
Well, you know, it's really amazing. I think you've probably got one of the best descriptions, especially the facial features and also on hands, of any that I've heard in a long time. And
yeah.
That's really good. I mean, what you described is almost a perfect. It's really good.
I mean, this thing is, like I said, it's burnt my mind. Even though I was 13 at the time, and I'm 39 now. There, you know, I probably think about this thing at least once every 3 weeks or so. I don't dwell on it all the time. It's just one of them things that I did see. But it does cross my mind at times. And when I go in the woods in the mornings at 4 o'clock to deer hunt, it crosses my mind. I feel like something's watching me. You know, it's like because I think of that day and I think they're out there and I know and I'm thinking, I'm going to run into one of them in the dark, and it's going to scare the hell out of me. You know, that's what I think all the time. And it's like, you know, I feel like
yeah.
Something's watching me, and it's a scary thought because I know he's out there, you know. But, you know, and then again, I think if he wanted to, there's been hunters for years just like me that's hunted and never had problems. So, you know, if they wanted to hurt somebody, you would hear of hunters falling over dead all the time.
Well, yeah, and one of the other things that you brought up there, what you said, it was in the dark and you'd run into him and scare the heck out of you. We actually had that happen to a guy. In fact, it's on our, we have, you know, about 9 documentary movies. And the first documentary movie we came out with, Bigfoot Lives, at the very end of the movie, what happens is one of the guys that we had he's died of cancer since then. But he was out in the woods, and he actually walked right into it.
Oh man!
And it knocked him over, and
oh,
he
man.
Had his camera in a night mode, right? You know, on the night mode.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, it's the real thing. he goes ass over tea kettle on ground, and
you think you talk about having to change the drawers? I think that would have been.
Oh yeah, well, and you can hear the growl in the background.
Oh man!
But
yeah,
but
definitely.
I think it scared.
I'd had to change my drawers, no doubt.
Well, I think the creature guy got. You know, the creature was just standing still next to a tree, right?
Yeah.
And because it was at night, and but that really did happen, and yes, it did scare the heck out of him.
Man, that would be
it's amazing.
Man.
Yeah.
But, you know, the encounter I had was as bright as it could be outside, beautiful sunny day. And, I mean, it was amazing. It was like God put that there for me to see. I mean, it was just one of them things that it was almost spiritual. You know, it was almost like it just it took you to another place, you know, to know that something like that's out there and to be able to actually see it. It's just something that it's hard to share with anybody else because, you know deep in your soul and your heart what you've seen. I know for a fact what I've seen. And it's just one of them things, like say, that you tell people and, you know, they look at you like you're crazy.
Sure.
But I don't care.
Now, a lot of people, Kevin, a lot of people actually start out with a smell. You didn't have any smell, right? There was
no actually, I didn't smell nothing. I don't know if it was because I was so much in shock that I wasn't thinking of smell, or I wasn't at the time, it didn't cross my mind, or if the wind was blowing the other way, if the wind was blowing to our backs.
Sure.
There was no smell. And,
nope.
And actually, believe it or not, this creature looked real clean.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked, to look at him, his fur actually looked clean. I mean, that's one thing that I do remember, too. His fur was so, it almost looked soft. You know,
well,
and it was
what
matted.
What you described, actually,
there
what
was
you
some
described
places
is.
It was matted, but a lot of it was, I mean, looked like you could go up, like almost like, it was just beautiful fur, man. It was just, it looked like if you went up and touched it, it would be real soft.
Well, I'll tell you, what you described, especially the facial features and things,
is
almost exactly like some of the paintings there's a researcher from way, way back, one of the original ones, and of course, you know, if you look on the internet, they've got him coined as a hoaxer, and his name was Ivan Marks, and his wife, they spent a lot of time out, and that was his first experiences. I was up in Alaska and towards Washington area, Washington State area. And some of the other people that he had run into in some of his early movies, he made a couple of movies, actually made, three or four movies, I think. And The Legend of Bigfoot, Bigfoot Alive in 82. Anyway, what he... that's where Tom Biscardi, Ivan was Tom's mentor when they started out, and they were with another company. It's called Amazing Horizons.
Mm-hmm.
And and they had a group of people there. And what happened was they ran into a lot of people up there in Alaska where they made paintings of these creatures that they saw. And it was exactly... I mean, if you were to look at it, it's exactly the way you described it.
Yeah. My daughter, I've got a daughter, 19, she's in college, and, I mean, you talk about somebody that can draw, she can draw. I mean, she can draw a person that looks just like them. I wish I could take what's in my head and give to her so she could, you know, put it down on paper. Because
sure.
I can still, to this day, it's amazing to me that I can still see that image in my head, his face and everything. I mean, I can still, it's like I'm standing there at times. Like, I can just see it so vivid. Like, it's just so, you know, it's just so burnt in my head, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. No, and that happens to a lot of people. In fact, a lot of people can't get sleep. I mean, they go sleepless. Well, you know, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing your experience with us.
And, one more thing. I think that, seeing this creature made me, as a kid and an adult, respect nature and animals and stuff a whole lot more. It really did. I think it changed me in a lot of ways. I think it changed my life, you know. It's just, you know, it's something, like I said, it's just, I mean, it's just so hard to describe the feeling or anything about it. You know, it's just one of them things that it's just so different from anything else I guess you'll ever go through in life.
Absolutely. Well, it's a life-changing experience for most people that I've been in contact with.
And I want
one of the things I'd like to ask you.
Let me tell my story because, you know, it means a lot to me to be able to tell somebody.
Well, it means a lot to us to have you on the show. What I'd like to do is ask you, could you stick around until the end of the show? We're going to open it up for questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd love, I know there's a lot of people like to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And I want to thank you again for coming on. I'm going to mute you out right now. We're going to go to a commercial. But we'll be back, and you can listen to the rest of the show right here.
All right.
Okay? Thank you for coming, Kevin. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin from Tennessee. We're going to go out here to a little bit of a commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at Searching for Bigfoot.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And what I'd like to tell everybody, we've got a lot of requests, email, and I think Rocky and Swede were out on the road here a couple of weeks ago, and they had a lot of requests. You know, they were wearing their Bigfoot hat caps and shirt. T-shirt, and one of the things that, that people were asking is, you know, how they can get one, and it's really easy. All you got to do is go on the website. You can either go to searchingforbigfoot.com and look at the store. It has a store there, or you can just go www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. That's www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Go up there. All of our movies are there, belt buckles, hats, jackets, anything you can think of, cups, it's all there, and you're certainly welcome to it. And we're going to go on next to our second guest tonight. We're going to talk again to Robert from, I got the wrong click here. I clicked the wrong button. Sorry, Robert, I almost knocked you off the air. We're going to talk to Robert from PA, and he'll be right here as soon as I unmute you. Robert, how are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. How are you?
Super. Well, for everybody, before we start with Robert, I'd like to tell you one thing. Robert has some pictures. I couldn't post them all up there, but I posted several of them. And if you go to www.bigfootlive.com, that's our radio page, and if you go on the table of contents on the left, what's on this week, and you push that button, you'll come to a page, and it'll give a listing of the guests tonight on the show. If you look under Robert's name, Robert from Pennsylvania, and you take a look at that, you'll see there's a link there, and you click on that link, and you're going to see the pictures that we're going to be talking about tonight. And Robert had some, was on a couple of weeks ago, and he had some footprints and other things that he's taken, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How are you, Robert?
I'm doing good. And since those pictures, nothing's happened. And since the encounter that me and my father-in-law had down by that pond, we just nothing's happened again. So I'm just trying to figure out if it was just wandering through or hunkering down right now.
It's hard to tell. With the weather the way it is, the weather's changed a little bit, I mean, back and forth in your area, hasn't it?
Yes, it's winter. This is a bad winter, very bad. It's cold, and then we're supposed to get, I guess, 14 inches of snow starting midnight tonight until Friday morning. So,
yep.
The fact that, the delivery that I was supposed to make tomorrow, they canceled. They closed their distribution center down at a major food place, too, because of the weather. So,
yeah, there's quite a few areas where ice is, especially some of the southern states that don't normally get winter. And they're kind of iced up, and the trees are iced, and the power is out. And my God, so many different things. And all that has an effect.
And oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it's had an effect on the Bigfoot Hotline for the last couple of months. Really weird weather has caused a lot of different disruptions in different areas that normally, we've seen these creatures, they'll migrate, and some of them do, but some of them don't. Some of them stay in an area if they have plenty
I think this one might be hanging around. Because, like I say, until we've seen those footprints in the yard, that'd be the last thing that I'd be thinking about is a Bigfoot in Pennsylvania, where I live, walking through my backyard.
Well,
but
you know what? I've got to tell you something, Robert. I mean, in the past month or two, I've had probably four or five sightings, encounter experiences out of Pennsylvania.
Okay, I know, but check this out.
Yeah.
But since that's happened, now, like, things that I might have seen or things that just seemed a little weird that I, you know, my mind probably, it might have popped in there, but it just popped out real quick. But being that those footprints that we've seen, like mm-hmm. I said, the one time I seen a footprint, just one, it was where it was raining close to the house. I was like, you know, maybe that's just somebody's foot. But in my mind, this is before I even seen these tracks. And now that I think about it, I go back and I'm thinking, hey, maybe this thing was around before.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, like I say, when I left out of my road, it tees into another street and there's a field out there. And, you know, there's deer around here. You see them all the time.
Sure.
And I had made my left turn. And I caught a little bit of eye shine. You know, you got to remember, it's probably like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm half asleep. And I remember seeing like something big out there, dark or whatever. But I didn't pay no mind to it. You know what I mean? And now that I'm thinking back, that might have been that out there. Or like I told you the last time I talked to you when I was out working on my semi-truck, smelling that smell.
Yeah, well, I looked at the reeds and other stuff that you had there where you're taking the night pictures, right? And some pretty tall reeds.
Did you get the other pictures that I sent you that I...
Yeah, I got everything. I just got to download it from my phone.
Okay, good. And then, like I told you, this is weird, too. It looks like the thing might have urinated. Because remember I said, out of nowhere, there was no reason to have a big yellow, you know, like when a dog urinates on your grass, you get a little yellow spot. No, I'm serious. I told my wife, and then things like that are popping in my head. How'd this big yellow spot get over here?
Still there?
Well, you'll see it in the one picture of the video where I'm standing out in my garage and I'm explaining that I'm smoking. When that video first starts, look down there. You'll see it. There's a big yellow spot down there, and that's what I'm thinking. So this...
Uh-huh.
But see, this was even before I seen the tracks. I thought something was kind of weird. I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. You know what I mean? Like, what the heck? That's kind of a big spot for something, to, you know, a dog to pee that big back there.
It's the yellow snow.
Well, I was always told, don't ever eat the yellow snow.
A dog is kind of limited to how much yellow snow they can make.
But my point is, here's my point, Marco Bill. If this thing's hanging around, I'm going to get it on camera. I mean, I'm going to get it because, like I told you, I've got my game cameras out. My senses are more heightened. You know, I'm looking around more. And that's what I was saying, too, because I do drive a truck. Mm-hmm. You know, I went up to Woodland, PA, which is up on 80, going out towards Du Bois and Clearfield, probably where they had those other sightings out there. And you drive for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're out in the mountains. That's what I mean. Every now and then you come across a little bit, but I guarantee you I can walk from here, and I think it's 200 miles over to Woodland. I guarantee you if I was to move at night and didn't tell nobody, other than maybe my wife, I couldn't even tell, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we could document this, this guy's going to walk from this point in Pennsylvania to this point, and I'm only going to move at nighttime, and I'm going to wear dark or, you know, camouflage stuff so nothing can see me. I guarantee you I can make it over there and not have anybody spot me. Because that's the thing. How many people are driving around the country right now with spotlights or having their, you know, their senses heightened to be looking for a creature hiding behind a tree or bushes or maybe in a dark field off the side of the road? And nobody's doing it. Everybody's in their own little world. That's the last thing they're thinking about.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what happens.
And that, well, that's why it's
how
not
these,
getting
these
caught.
Encounters happen, yeah.
Right, right. But I'm ready for it this next time. I don't know if it's going to be this year. It might be next year. It might be
but
2 years. But what I'm saying is if...
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's going to come back through because of that pond down there. I'm just, I'm thinking
I'm
it
sure
is.
I'm sure that there's plenty of food and water and shelter in the area that you've got there, and they don't normally go alone. They're usually in a family pod. And,
well, that's why, because my father-in-law, he swore, and you know, and I said the same thing again. I said, Tom, are you sure we've seen it up there? He said, Robert, I guarantee you. And then he says he thinks there was two. And I told you that, too. I thought I'd seen a little one down there. I thought maybe it might have had a baby.
Sure.
But he's swearing that he thinks it was two. And we never really talked about that. But he thinks it's two because where we had seen it at one point over to the right, he said there was no way it could have moved over there that fast. There was no way it could have went over there that fast. Because
well,
at one point, like I say, it was...
Yeah.
So he's thinking there was two of them. And that's why I say the next day when I heard that, the next morning, because out in the field there's some trees out there too, like little patches of trees, I heard the whoop. It was like a
yeah.
whoop, a whooping sound, like maybe four of them. Was it calling out for something? Because did we disrupt them and scare them where they got separated maybe? You know what I mean? Was it calling out for the other one? I don't know, Bill. I mean... I'm looking at every aspect of this, trying to figure out why this thing's in the area. Is this because of the pond, or is it a migrant path? Did it get lost? Was it cold that day? Did it come off the mountain?
They may even live in the area there, and the only reason they came, they probably live further away, but they came down because of the scarcity of food, probably in the higher levels.
Well, I think they're maybe hunting down here, too, because I told you I'd seen
Absolutely.
That coyote run down, and there's
sure.
tons of deer and shit, but... And then over there by that pond, too, not the reeds, but behind the reeds, there's some kind of a tree or a bush. I would say it's like a bush tree. I don't know what it is, but it's, I don't know, maybe, I'm just going to guess. I ain't really, we went to the reeds that time, and that was the first time I'd been down there in 5 years. I had no need to go down there. That's not my property. But along the backside of that pond, there's some bushes, and I guarantee that thing was in there, because that's, it would either have been in the reeds, or right now, it could be down there right now. You cannot see in there. You know what I mean? And that's the way for that thing to be protected from the elements and the snow. I don't know. I don't. Should I go down there and look? I don't know. You know what I mean? I mean, I like I told you last time, I need to get a hold of them people that live up there and try to get down there and put my game cameras down there, too.
Sure.
But with driving and everything
else.
I
think you're doing a real good job, Robert. I think you're doing a great job.
Right. And then, like I told you before, with the other organizations, I can kind of care less what they think because, you know, at one time, because I'm like, hey, this is real. What, you know, hey, this is what you guys do. Here's the evidence. This is what you guys are looking for. But like I told you, if I'd have had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have contacted those people because I don't think they're, I mean, I think their heart's in it. I think they really want to do good, but I just don't think that they're.
I think
like,
to me, it just seemed a little out of range. A giant rabbit. Or what did they say, an owl?
An owl, a snow owl. There's no way. And then they're trying to say, well, maybe those tracks, maybe they were older than what you said they were. I'm telling you, I guarantee you those tracks were no no longer than 2 days old. And then if you look at the one picture that I sent too, those pictures that I took were Wednesday night. You know, I got to work for a living. I run a business, so I got to go. And that's why this is kind of making it hard for me to do what I really want to do with this stuff too, because, you know, I got to feed my family. I don't have the time. And then with the winter, it's hard to get out and do anything other than put game cameras in the back of my house. That's all I can do on my property. But the next day, the one where you can actually see the meltage of the snow, you don't see those toe prints like that. You know, the next day, then I can see somebody maybe saying, well, it could be that or this, but you can clearly see the toe prints in the snow. And
yeah.
then
on
the third toe, you could see
that.
The line. So I
to
think
me,
it's got a deformed foot.
That's a footprint as far as...
Well, I know it is, but I think it's got a deformed print because I've looked on the BFRO sites, too, of other sightings in Pennsylvania, and there was a guy north of us. I don't know how far, not too far. But this is all documented stuff on the BFRO on there, because you can get on there by state and then go by counties. The people that have actually called into them and made reports. The one guy said it was like limping. It was like hobbling when it was walking too. Maybe
sure.
Its foot
well,
looks because you can obviously tell it's got a deformed foot.
But we've got a couple instances where we have like club foot, which is
right.
A deformed foot that had been crippled. There's
right.
A lot of different things. In Tennessee, as a matter of fact, about 6 years ago, when we first went down there, they had one of the toes was missing. And 10 years before that, the same thing had happened, the same footprint.
But I know we're limited on time on a radio show, but I would really love to sit down and I can talk for 6 hours on stuff, you know,
well,
just trying to.
Well, wait till they, I'll tell you what. You hold it until the end of the show here. There's going to be all kind of questions for you, and you can ask all kind of questions of the other people. Normally, I say 10 minutes, but we usually have it. It goes for about a half an hour.
Right. And, oh, yeah. Cause see, that's what I'm saying. I can call in. I can keep going on, Bill.
On
like
the line.
With the whistling.
Stay on line and listen to
the whistling. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But now the first guy's story, see, that just makes me, I mean, I believe him. I mean, just you can hear it, too. That I think that's awesome, you know, and that supports what everybody else is seeing out there, too. You know, people, you're not crazy. It's just this thing smart. It knows how to not get caught, you know. So.
Oh, you darn tootin'. They've been around for quite a long time.
Right, right. But I appreciate you taking my phone call, Bill. I'll let you get to your other guests, too. I know they're waiting
well,
to talk
yeah,
to you.
And,
so.
Well, you're going
to
hang on, all right? You're going to hang on to the end of
yeah, the definitely, day. Definitely. That's why I say,
yeah.
I'm not going to.
We're going to open it up. Let me thank you. Robert, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing again, and thank you for the pictures. We're going to get back to you.
Oh, sure.
As soon as Tom takes a look at those, we'll get you a good input.
Right. Yeah. Either
my,
way.
My
I mean,
evaluation. I've already told you my evaluation. And,
yeah. Well,
that's what I think
too.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks for
okay,
coming
Marco
on.
Okay, Marco Bill,
and
I'm
going
to wait. I'll
listen.
Talk to you at the end.
Yeah. Listen
yep,
to the
okay.
rest of the show on the phone here if you like.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to hang out. Yep, we'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Well, everybody, that was Robert from Pennsylvania. We're going to go out here to Four Corners, New Mexico, and talk to our buddy Dave. Dave, how are you?
Doing good, Marco Bill. Doing a lot better, actually. I've been pretty sick, actually, this whole month.
Holy smokes.
I caught the flu and then caught pneumonia, and now I've just got a simple cold. So I would rather have a cold than anything else.
My God. feel sorry for you, Dave.
Oh,
well, gosh,
better,
well, you've heard some of the things that have been going on here, right?
Yeah. It's very interesting. I mean, it's pretty astounding to hear these reports, you know, and the encounters that these guys are getting through.
Mm-hmm. And what I liked was the Kevin in his facial features that he was able to remember.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of pictures and things, and it's not like the Patterson film one.
Exactly.
It's completely different. It's more human.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But we, you know, as you guys know, with the different species too, they have different features.
Sure.
But, you know, like we talked last week, but that's pretty much the near-human-looking creature. And, boy, I tell you, something that's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell us what's going on in your area, good buddy.
Yeah, well, reports are still coming in. Oh, by the way, I just saw a text on my phone from Brenda about 3 minutes ago, and then she told me to say hi to everybody on the show. And
tell Linda's hi, too. Tell her we miss her.
Okay.
Tell her to come on once in a while and talk to us.
Sure. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to call her after the show and tell her that. Yeah, she told me actually last week that things are still heated up down there in the valley. I haven't been out investigating too often here lately since I got sick. But
I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I've been just getting the reports from other people, and yeah, the activity's still going on. It's scattered, but it's definitely going on. And I've actually heard some reports to the east of us in the same river system, the San Juan River, about 25 miles upstream between here and Navajo Lake area, which I'd always wondered if there was some activity going on there, and now we're starting to hear things, you know, like trees being manipulated and even howls at night and stuff. And this is an area that when I was a kid, I used to go fishing with my parents all the time, because actually that area is well known for their quality, they call it quality waters, where you can fish the first 2 miles of the Navajo Dam with unbarbed hooks. And it's just a really popular site for fishermen. And we used to go there, camp all the time, and now that area sounds like they're getting Bigfoot activity as well.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, as well as our lower part of the valley here, too. And I actually got a story. It's not Bigfoot related, but it was a story given to me 2 days ago at our local
college. Tell us about it. We're waiting.
Yeah, this security guard had reported to a friend of mine who's very reliable, who actually has had Bigfoot encounters, and he lives down in the valley as well. His name is Fred. Fred told me that he talked to a security guard at our local college, and this guy was not wanting to tell anybody about this, but he finally told Fred because Fred, you know, has talked about Bigfoot and stuff. And he said that this about 2 in the morning, I guess it didn't happen too long ago. I'm going to get more information on it and talk to this guy directly very soon. But he had a craft actually float over the college at 2 in the morning. And I think there's only like 2 security guards that night. But one of them didn't see it, just the certain one. And it hovered over the college, and I guess it was pretty close to the area where the security guard was, and he actually kind of approached it. It was in the air, and I think he said he started feeling like prickly. The skin was prickly, and it started glowing lights faster, and then he started getting a little bit freaked out, so he backed off from it. And then it went directly east of the college, which is neighborhoods in there and stuff, and I've heard no stories about this before. Well, I guess he was getting ill. It must be probably the past couple of months, or a couple of months ago when this happened, because I guess he's been getting treatment and stuff for an illness that they can't figure out. He's been really ill, taking a lot of days off. And then after the next week, this happened to the other security guard, too, who was very skeptical, didn't believe in UFOs and stuff. This happened to him, too. And he got ill. They're both very ill now. And they're getting treated. And I guess the first one that had the encounter, the doctor asked him finally, have you ever had exposure to radiation? And I'm not sure how the doctor could determine that there was some radiation involved. But this guy got his first dose, his once-in-a-lifetime dose of iodine. So he's been poisoned by radiation, apparently.
Yeah, well, radiation works in the body. You've heard chemo, right?
Yeah.
There's chemo radiation. There's also just, there's a medical kind of chemo, and then there's also the radiation chemotherapy they use.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so...
And basically what it does is radiation sickness is a pretty serious thing. And it kills your cells,
mm-hmm.
And it actually what it can do is your red blood cells and other things, your marrow, the place, you know, where you make your blood,
mm-hmm.
and your marrow and stuff like that, it affects your whole body.
Yeah.
And you get really weak, you get nauseous, sick.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a pretty harrowing experience.
Yeah.
And it can also affect your body. I mean, just take a look at a lot of those, you know, from Japan, when we bombed Japan, the after effect of that was enormous.
Wow.
And a lot of cancer, a lot of other diseases, mm-hmm. and things that have taken place not just the radiation burns themselves, but you know later on. So it's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, and then Fred himself, who had heard this interview initially, told me that right where he lives, he's getting he doesn't live too far from Brenda, just like 5 miles, but he's getting howls out there too, you know, by the river and stuff. So we're getting all kinds of stuff from coming from all different directions.
Wow.
It's kind of like that show that I was on last year on Monsters and Mysteries, the Desert Wasteland episode. It's like we have different things going on, crypto creatures, Bigfoot, UFO. It's like, what's next, you know? And
Madame Curie, one of our most famous scientists,
yeah,
subjected herself to quite a bit of radiation in her lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of concerned now. Maybe I don't want to be chasing these UFOs or things, you know, with the radiation emanating out of them.
Well, I was on submarines for most of my life, but it's the opposite for me.
My actual
lifetime radiation is less than background.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, actually, there's a radiation here all the time.
So are you decaying?
No. Less than background means it's good.
Oh, yeah.
When you're up in the, like when I'm in a submarine under the water, there's nothing. And when you're up on the earth walking around in the sunshine and stuff, you get more radiation then. So my lifetime radiation dose based on my, they take all kinds of measurements.
Uh-huh.
When you're on any kind of a nuclear ship.
Oh, yeah.
They take all kinds of measurements and things. The actual people even working in the reactors and stuff are limited to very little, you know, radiation. But the lifetime dose and other measurements they use on film badges and other kinds of things, dissimeters and other things that they use are tallied up and in your medical record. And Mine is less than background radiation.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. My father told me when he was in the Navy, they were loading up some nuclear weapons into a ship, and he said he managed to, as he was loading one up, he said he felt it, you know, the casing of the weapon. He said it was warm. He could actually figure out where the nuclear, the center of it? Where he said he could put his hand in different areas of it. On the top there, and he could feel where the warmest part was, and that's where that I call it a nuclear pile, but it's the nucleus of it right there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. I was like, wow. That would be kind of a sobering moment, you know, knowing that you're sitting with all that power right there ready to be unleashed, you know?
Well, it can make you pretty sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming on and telling us and keeping. I hope you're feeling better.
Okay.
You're gonna stay on to Lena's show, right?
Yeah, sure will.
Super. Thanks for coming on, Dave. And gosh, I hope you feel better next week.
Yeah, it's slowly. Actually, we're gonna get a great warming trend. While the whole country's just, you know, in cold, we're actually getting the reverse here. We're supposed to be in winter right now. We're going to get 67 degrees by Sunday. And it just snowed like 3 or 4 days ago. It's like, you know, I don't know what's going on. Crazy.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
We'll see you at the end of the show here.
Okay. I'll be listening in and get you on the chat there.
Okay. Take care, Dave.
Okay, you too. Thank you, Marco Bell.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dave from Four Corners. We're going to go out here to Virginia and talk to our buddy Anthony.
Hey,
Anthony,
Marco
how
Bill.
Are you? Well, before you start off, Anthony, you sent me a new tree formation.
That's right.
And I got it posted at www.bigfootlive.com. Go to the table of contents and go to what's on this week under the guests. You'll see Anthony from Virginia. And under that, you'll see a link. You click on that link, and you'll come up with a picture, and it'll show you the new formation from all the other stuff that Anthony's collected. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, that's that picture there is from a location that we've been at in the past, but I haven't been to recently, but we've still been in touch with those folks out there. And this is one of the formations that had just popped up early last week, before last week's show, and they had sent it to me. And I'm you know, if I wasn't involved with some other things, I would have been able to, have it for you last week. But the interesting thing with this is that, there was no fallen tree on the property. They didn't know that no tree, had fell down and caused this. I mean, and this thing is, it's not a massively wide tree, but it's still wide enough to say, this took some force to, make this tree kind of bend as far down as it did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, you didn't know it.
And the interesting thing is that the person in the picture there is the skeptic. And
uh-huh.
So, not saying that she believes, but at the same time, it's, she does have an open mind, but she just like to see what's doing it.
Sure.
But this is in this is the property where they have trees, where they had teepee formations. That's not the only formation on the property. There are some that are a huge teepee formation. There's others that were bent over and tucked under other trees. Just some things that you can't say that happened naturally. You look at it, you can say that definitely these trees were put this way. They just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you remember, there was an occasion where East Coast Jack and I were not too far from this location. So, and we had, it was a couple of years ago when we went out there and we spent the night out there. And so, we know that there was stuff there, but we just hadn't heard anything in that area recently until, last week.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, thank
you. Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us. Letting you know, I know you've been pretty busy the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and today
moving,
I'm like
moving,
day,
moving,
okay.
All kinds of other stuff. Work, moving, everything.
Yeah, well,
I want to thank you for taking the time just to come on the show. I appreciate your effort to do that.
Thanks, man.
Well, I tell you what we'll do. How about if we go on to, you're gonna stay to the end, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what I'm going to do is we'll go on to here to Swede and Rocky, and then we'll open it up for everybody.
That's good.
Thanks, Anthony, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. And now we're going to go out to good old Arkansas. Oops, excuse me. Got the hiccups. And let's talk to Rocky and Swede. Rocky and Swede, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Swede?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to sit on my hands to keep from waving at people if it's any worse.
Well, guys, why don't you tell us some, why don't you give us a little rundown on some things?
Well, Marco, we had the, me and Rocky had made our little walk, our little pre-drive through where we're going to take the walk, through the National Forest there.
Mm-hmm.
We had mentioned a few of those folks on the, a couple weeks ago on the show. We didn't get to talk about the truck driver, the log truck driver that we had met, and Rocky knows what I'm talking about. We were gonna touch base on this guy for just a bit there. He had had an encounter that he shared with us. It was, we kind of come up there to in a gap at the road there to the place. It's called Kilgore Gap, and there was a couple of young boys there on four-wheelers, and it's a pickup truck sitting there and another truck sitting the other way, and they was all just sitting there kind of visiting, and we kind of slid up in there with them and started talking, and it was the same thing. first thing they saw was Rocky's T-shirt, and that got the conversation started, and we were kind of, you know, once they kind of brought up the subject, and so we just kind of started asking the questions. And this gentleman that was there, pretty good-sized guy there anyway, he said that he was telling us, he said, yeah, kind of one of those, like, yeah, things, you know. And we said, well, what's going on? And Rocky said, I don't think he wants to talk about it. And I said, oh, yeah, sure he does. And one of the other boys said something about it, said, tell him what you seen. And anyway, the National Forest there had opened up some of the property for commercial logging. And I guess a lot of this, I'd say it hadn't been logged in, I don't know how long you think, Rocky, what, 60 years or so, or maybe more?
Yeah, every bit of that.
Just big old timber back in there, and they'd open it up to some of them companies, you know, and they bid it. And evidently, this gentleman was driving a log truck for the one of the logging bunches there, and said he'd been driving truck all of his life and been all over that place out there. And
you know what? I'm gonna you continue on here. I got to make an emergency restroom call. I'll be right back.
That'll be fine.
But you just keep on going, sweet. I'll be right back.
We asked him if he was still driving the log truck, and he said no, he wasn't driving the log truck no more, not for them. And we asked him why, and he said, I saw something across the road, up just over the way there a little ways, and said, well, what'd you see? What'd you see, a deer or a bear? What'd you see? And he said, no. He said, I've seen lots of deer and bear, and they get out of the way of the truck, but this was not a bear. This was, I guess what you'd call a Bigfoot. And I said, really? Rocky said, well, how big was he? And he said he was big enough I could see him about eye to eye out of my Mack truck when I was driving by him. And he said, it come right across the road. He said it come right across the road right in front of him, and he was kind of freaked out about it. Well, the reason he's not driving the truck anymore for that bunch is because the crew wouldn't let him carry a gun, and he said he wasn't going to go back down there again without a gun. Because he said evidently that that creature had stood right there at the road, right just enough for him to go by, and stood there and looked at him. Didn't run off the road. Come across the road and stopped and kind of was watching him go by. And he said he was a little bit, he said it looked like it was kind of giving him the mean eyes, kind of staring him down. And he said that he wasn't going to have that without a gun. And anyway.
What do you call it? The big hairy man or some crap like that?
I was trying to think, Rocky. I can't remember. I think that's what that old man down there with the taters called him, the big hairy man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
I can't remember what the truck driver called it. He had a name. It wasn't Bigfoot. I don't know. It was like something like that, big hairy man or something like that, woodsman or something like that. Anyway, them kids around there, them two boys, they weren't kids, they were just young men, and they told me, and Rocky said, you know, that's not the only thing, you know, there's been some footprints down in the silt down there on the creek, and you know, there have been some of that. We got a pretty good dose of some sightings down there, and we've actually been down in that neck of the woods before. It's kind of where we kind of come out of at the end of our drive, But it was interesting. That guy, he was very sincere about it. He was really kind of, you could tell he was kind of, he didn't want to talk about it, but he did. And he had quite an experience. I think he didn't want to have any more of it.
Well, I think it happens to a lot of people, sweet. So the thought of being, hassled and, you know.
Oh yeah,
especially
we get all that, you know. But I mean, it was just like when he said it. He said he's driving that Mack truck. You know, it had to be. Oh, you know how it is. You step up on the fuel tank, and and you're up in the cab, you know, if you're sitting up in the cab there, you're probably a good 8 foot. He said that thing was eye to eye with him standing on the driver's side when it crossed the road, and was eyeballing him as he went by with a load of logs on. And, you know, I guess it kind of gave him the willies, you know. I guess he got a pretty good look at it. And, Rocky, didn't you ask him what it looked like? Didn't you ask him some stuff about, and he was talking to you about the hair on it. What'd he say? Said it was slick.
Oh, yeah, he said that, actually he said that it looked like, almost like its hair was oily.
Yeah, he said it was slick looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, he said that when he looked out the window and saw it, he said something came between him and his Calvin Klein's. he seemed to be a pretty straightforward guy, and he didn't come across to me as somebody that scared real easy, but. He was real quick to say that he wasn't making the trip again for an outfit that wasn't letting him carry a firearm.
Yeah, and you know, those guys, you know, there's lots of logging going on, but when you get on a contract like that, that's one you don't just walk off from.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was pretty serious about them. Them boys, you know, were kind of egging him on a little bit there, but they wasn't gigging him too much because I think that they might have known he might get a hold of him. He was taking it pretty serious. He didn't want to talk about it, but he did. But
well, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but he had, I would say that if he got hold of somebody as big as his hands was, he could probably squeeze some jelly out of them.
Oh, yeah. He was a special country boy. There's no doubt about it. He'd been wrestling a big old steering wheel on a truck without no power steering, I imagine, probably for a while. He's a pretty good-sized guy. But it was interesting, Marco, that on our, you know, on our drive, that, I mean, well, like we said, we talked to several people before we get this going, this trek, that they had the encounters, and it was interesting how the hats and the T-shirts prompted the conversation.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of people, and of course, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Rocky's got some stuff happening here. We probably won't get into it tonight because I know we're going to be short on time, but we'll bring it up next.
Oh, sure.
Next Wednesday night, and it's really going to be interesting. It's pretty good. Actually, we're going to go right after church on Sunday, and I'm going back with Rocky. He's already been, and I'm going back with him. We're going to go re-interview this guy and see if we can't talk him into coming on to the show, because it's really...
Well, that'd be pretty neat, yeah.
Well, I tried to get him I talked to him Tuesday and tried to get him to come on. He said he didn't think he was wanting to do that, but anyhow, he told me and showed me, and so there's a good chance that I might be able to talk him into it if he'd help. So,
well, tell him he doesn't have to use his real name if he doesn't want to.
I already told him all that, and he just said he wasn't sure that was something that he wanted to do.
Sure, no, I understand.
Yeah,
I have a lot of people that call in and they want, you know, they want to get the story out of their chest, but they really don't want to. There's something about, you know, public speaking and things like that kind of make them nervous.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Well, gosh, should we open it up for everybody?
Sounds good.
Here we go. Well, I got somebody from Escondido on there. Let's see, Christian, you're on. Robert, you're on. Dave, you're on. Kevin, you're on. And Anthony, you're on.
Happy birthday.
So everybody's on the air.
Yeah, happy birthday, Christian.
Yeah, happy birthday, Christian.
Well, does anybody have any questions for Kevin?
Did you ever get a
Kevin from Tennessee? He's the one that had the visual.
Oh, Kevin. I was thinking of Sweet. I'm sorry. Well, I was going to see if Sweet had seen those pictures yet, because last time I had talked to you, you didn't have a chance to look at that footprint.
I had not got it. I have not been on the website. I've been pretty busy and going around. I hadn't had a chance to look at anything, to tell you the truth.
Really?
I have not been on my computer since last Sunday.
Wow.
But I'm going.
I haven't been on mine since forever.
Well, like I said, you know, you'll have to understand that I have to have some assistance from my better half, and sometimes that doesn't just happen right out of the blue, you know what I mean?
Hey, Marco Bill, real quick, those other sightings in Pennsylvania, were they close to my area or were they on the other part of the state?
No, they're kind of spread out.
Yeah, okay.
What part of Pennsylvania
are you at?
The north. I don't know. Over towards, I guess it would be the central east, north. I mean, more eastern Pennsylvania, right in the middle, kind of.
I think I'm on the bottom of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. What are you, down by Harrisburg or something?
Yeah.
Down that way, yeah. Mechanicsburg, Mechanicsville. Down that way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know that I've heard of sightings down that way before. Or, you know, looking on the web, like the BFRO, you can get on there and you can see all the different sightings that they've had in Pennsylvania. Really, any state. You know, people that reported them.
Well, Christian, why don't you tell everybody your most recent experience has happened here?
Well, yesterday I was outside and I've been here and I hear like monkey noises outside, like, like how they make sometimes.
Yeah, we call monkey chatter. Got quite a few the other Dave, as far as the whoops and the whistles go, Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico, he's had a lot of experience with those. So some of the other people. It's kind of neat to compare some of the things that these creatures can do. We know that they do mimic other animals. Coyotes, a rooster, a sick rooster.
What do you mean? What would that sound like?
Well, you can tell it. You know, it sounds like a rooster. You're nowhere near where a farm is, right? You're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden you hear this. It sounds like a rooster, but it's kind of a way off animated rooster crow. You know,
Marco,
what I'm talking about?
Marco, he's trying to goad you into doing your sick rooster impression.
No, I don't have one.
Hey, Marco, I wanted to ask Kevin about the calf. You know,
go ahead.
You know, Kevin, when you saw the Swede, whenever you seen the creature there, it was off in the. I'm having a vision of a loafing shed or something there on a hillside there in Tennessee. There.
Well, it was like a lean-to barn.
Yeah.
Front
shed.
Was open, you know, and then they had the little cages, little metal cages, you know, separated with the little igloo type little houses for the calves, and they had them separated in there, and they had places where they could walk through. He was actually over in the cage and had a hold to the calf. He had him around the neck.
So he was over on the over the calf fence, and he actually had a hold of the calf.
Yeah, he actually had a hold to the calf, and the calf was hollering. It was starting to pick it up when he saw us.
That's why I was wondering if he was trying to get a hold of it, or was he?
I mean, I don't know if he had intentions of eating it or what the deal was, but he actually was trying to pick it up. Well, he wasn't trying. He was in the process of picking it up.
He
had the front end of him up. Whenever he seen us, he dropped the calf. He come out of the barn, and that's when he come out on the road, and he made like a, he done like that at us, like a mock charge or something noise, you know, like a wolf sound. And then he went across the fence and went down through the field.
But he
was actually trying to get the calf. I mean, the calf was in some major distress. You could tell the way it was hollering.
And
whenever it come to that fence, Kevin, did it slow down and look at that fence, or did it, you know, like a deer will come up to a fence and kind of hold his horses for a second there and then judge it and then jump over?
No, this thing actually walked up to it normally and stepped right over it. Never put his hands on top of the wire. He had at least a 4-foot stride. I mean, in between. That fence was every bit of 4 foot tall. It was a 5-strand barbed wire fence. Because I lived, you know, there was farms up there where I lived, and it was a field they cut hay out of. And he stepped across that fence and never touched it with his hands. He didn't run. It was a normal stride. He just put 1 foot over and then put the other one over and went on down through the field.
Well, I'm totally sure. We got, you know, lots of 5-strand barbed wire here in Arkansas. It's every place. And just like Rocky will tell you, I don't know how many pairs of pants and coveralls we've got with the crotch ripped out of them with holding hold the wire down with your hand and get over it. So it's a, you know, that's a big step. I've heard about the stepping over the fence from several people, and I just wanted to revisit again. But that was interesting about the calves.
That was the thing. I don't know, if he was going to get one to eat or what the deal was, but he was in the process of trying to get one of the calves when we actually walked up on him. Like I said, he let the calf go.
You never did smell anything. You never did get
I never smelled nothing. You know, there was a lot of smelling. You know, of course, you could smell the calves, and there was cows in the field, so we could smell cow shit, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the wind was blowing at our backs or what, you know, but we never smelt nothing. And like I said, I don't know if I was in so much shock at the time that I wasn't thinking about smell. Because when we come up the hill, when we first saw him, he was probably 50 yards away or so. So he was a good distance when we first saw him.
Pretty good distance from you.
And when we come on up the road, you know, over to the left, it was there wasn't no fence. I mean, it was just, you know, a little field there, and they had the barn on the side. And when we walked up the hill there a little bit on the road, that's when we seen him in the barn. And like I said, it was a lean-to. The front was facing us. The open part was facing us. He was in there, and he had a hold to the calf. I was planning on going over and helping the calf out. I thought it was hung up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked over, I seen him. He seen me and my brother. And that's when he come out, and he actually come out on the road and actually stopped for I don't know how long. You know, it seemed like eternity because, of course, what we were seeing, it just scared the hell out of us.
But
he probably wasn't there 8 or 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. He made that wolf noise at us, and then, like I said, he just casually walked to the fence, put 1 foot over, the other foot over, and then he made a good stride to the edge of the woods. And, you know, he did take off. He didn't run full. I don't think full blast of what he could have. He just kind of trotted down through and got to the woods and then looked back at us for a minute and then went on off in the woods.
Well, I appreciate you sharing the
I'm glad to be able to share it with somebody who actually, you know, I feel like has had some encounters and kind of knows what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, I feel it's just a matter of time before, you know, they get solid evidence on this with technology. It's just a matter of time now.
And I just hope nobody shoots one. You know, that's the thing.
No, they ain't going to. I've talked about that, too. You'd be a fool to. Why would you want to? I mean, ignorant.
That's one of God's, you know, that's an amazing creature. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it'd be awful if somebody shot one and, you know, they found it, drug it up on TV, and you see it on the 5 o'clock.
Because when that one Yahoo down in Texas saying that he killed that, too, I mean, you know, and when I first heard it, that made me mad. Why would you do that? But come to find out, that's what. Now, if you look at the picture, too, I don't want to talk about it, but the freaking thing, it's circumcised. You know what I'm saying? So, obviously, that's a hoax big time. That guy that guy's got, he's got head problems.
Yeah, I've seen the picture of it. That's
later. Yeah, that's not real. That guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, for doing that, you know what I'm saying? But
I don't know. I was going to ask you about your, down there, Robert, on your, down there at your pond, I was going to give you a little heads up of something that me and Rocky noticed over time, too. You were talking about the reeds. I'm taking it you're referring to cattails?
Yeah, that cattails, the standard, you know, every part of the country.
Well, if you get around, if you'll pay attention, and you might look for this, them cattails are pretty good groceries, and even in the wintertime, they're good groceries because the tubers are really good to eat.
Well, there's over there behind it too. Like I say, there's like a big green. I mean, it's pretty good sized thing. Where easily that thing could have been in there, and that's what I was telling my wife. You know, my father-in-law, and it's like I'm just trying to figure out why it chose to walk across my acre. You know what I'm saying? And right. The only thing I can think of, it was down there, maybe with that snow and cold or something. It just got, I don't know, it just got trapped down there for a day or two or something, and it had to come out. It had to get out of there. You know what I'm saying? It had to. Because that pond started to freeze over and stuff. Everything's frozen down there with that cold. So I don't, honestly, there's nothing in there for it right now. Everything's frozen over. So I don't see it coming back no time soon. But like I told you guys earlier, in hindsight now, I think the thing, this is its area. Like, it's going to be around, you know what I mean? And it's just a matter of time before I get this thing on a game camera, because now, like I say, I get it with a video or something, and I'm hoping that happens. And then I do, the guy down in Texas that supposedly shot that, that's why I'm saying karma's a mother effer, because 2 days before I seen these tracks, I heard about that, and really, I don't even think I would have went out and looked to find these tracks. So hopefully this thing, I can get it on camera and give it to Tom Biscardi's crew. He'll be the first one that I call. Boom. You know what I mean? That's why I say karma's a mother effer. You know what I'm saying? Because of that guy's story, I wouldn't have probably went out there and double-checked that. You see what I'm saying? So now here's the real deal, and I'm hoping that, and I say that again, I'm hoping that your guys' crew, the Searching for Bigfoot crew, If I get this thing, and if it is walk around, it is real. It's a real creature, and I'm hoping that I get it on the game camera, and then there's the proof that this thing's in this area, and then you guys can come out and do your, you know, your investigation and document this thing. Well, and hopefully that happens for you guys.
If you get a chance with your neighbor there, and they'll let you down there by that pond, set you up a game camera down there by those cattails.
Well, that's like I said, though. It's just been so cold, and I do work, and I'm, you know, And I just ain't had a chance to get up there and talk to that gentleman, because he's come down. I mean, I've talked to him. He wants to go. He's an older guy, retired. He wants to go for a ride with me one day in my truck, but I just got to get up there. And like I say right now, there's probably an inch with the snow and then the last ice that we had up here. Everything's just icy right now. I mean, it's all frozen. I got nothing's melted. And tonight we're supposed to be getting another possibly 14 inches of snow between tonight and tomorrow. So it's just real tough to get down anywhere right now.
Right. I'm just telling you, if you preempted that and get you a camera set up down there with a hot set of batteries in it before anything thaws.
How long do those last anyway? Because the ones that I got, I forget the brand, but they take 4C batteries. And with the cold, how often should I be changing my batteries on those?
You just have to keep an eye on your meter and save it. I'm saying if it thaws,
okay,
and there's nothing for him to eat, and those cattails are available as soon as it thaws where he could get in there and pull some out, he may be right back there to feed there again if you have a camera.
Well, I think he's staying back in them green bushes, too, because nobody's going to go down there. Nobody. There's no reason for anybody to go down into that big. I mean, it's a big, bushy-ass, I mean, big. There's no reason for nobody to go down there. And honestly, I ain't had the time, and when that was four of us that went down there that one day, we were going to go down there and look around, but as soon as we got out of our vehicles, walked maybe 20 yards, that guy was yelling, "Hey, get out of there, this is private property," and I even went over to the guy because he was standing out there, and I said, "Hey, we just want to take pictures down here." He said, "I don't care." He said, "I've had state police want to go back there, too." And here's another thing. The last time that it snowed here, since I talked to you guys last time, maybe the weekend after that, there's a little Sunoco store maybe, I don't know, 2 miles from here I was going, and there was a car that was stopped up on the road there, and I thought maybe he was broke down. But then he pulled off, and I seen him looking back towards the field. And when I went by, you can see some tracks going off into the field, but they were deer tracks. So I'm thinking, why is this guy stopping and looking at deer tracks? So I'm thinking maybe somebody else might have spotted some tracks somewhere else, too, because he was an older gentleman. He would stop looking at these tracks, you know, but when you got close to it, you can clearly see it was a deer, you know what I mean, where they were hopping through there. So I'm thinking maybe that just caught me. That just seemed kind of odd for somebody to stop and look at deer tracks going through the snow like that. So I'm thinking maybe somebody else might have spotted some some tracks too around the area. Like I say, I'm not going to go knocking on people's doors. I kind of want to keep this hush-hush because I don't want people knowing nothing. You know what I mean? I just, because it's hoaxers or whatever, I don't want nothing until I actually get a solid proof that this thing is actually out here. And like I say, you guys are the ones that I'm going to contact. And then the other association, I'm done with them. Like I say, that guy's trying to say it could have been a chupacabra or a Mothman. To me, that's a little out there for me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a little out there. This was a living creature. This is a man or an animal, a mammal. This is an actual animal out here that needs, you know what I mean? We need solid people that know that this creature exists, but they're trying to get solid evidence of it, and I'm hoping that I can do that for, you know, the world. You know what I'm saying? I want to know. I'm curious.
This is Kevin. I tell y'all another thing. I moved up to Michigan. I grew up, you know, was raised here in Tennessee, but my wife's from Michigan, and we grew up. We moved up there for a little over a year, and my father-in-law, he had like 70-something acres, had a road that went around it, and he had a hunting blind on each side. And one day I was walking back, we'd change up. He would hunt in one day, and then I'd hunt in another one. You know, we'd change up every day. Well, that day I went to the left and went back, and I seen this black cat, and it was about the size of a mountain lion. And I called the game warden, and I told him, you know, I said, man, there's a black cat back here. And there's not no black cats running around in Michigan. You know, I mean, that's not something you're supposed to see. And the game warden looked at me like I was full of crap. You know, he tried to make it out like it wasn't nothing. Well, they covered it up, and now there's a website that this game warden, after he retired, he put up a website talking about the black cats was real, that all these encounters that people have been having was real. So that right there goes to show you how people will cover stuff up. You know,
well,
this guy done it for 10 years, and then
yeah,
when he retired, he come out with it.
Speaking of game wardens, last weekend I seen one at a grocery store. It was a Pennsylvania with a conservation officer or whatever, but they're a game warden. So I go in there, and the guy was checking out, and I said, hey, you got a minute where you can look at this picture? I got it on my iPhone, and then I got a picture like that I sent of a rabbit track, and I got a coyote and a fox, and I said, I showed him those, and then I showed him that one footprint, and I said, what's this? He looked at it, he's like, where'd you take this at? I told him the city that it was taken in. He said, I ain't never seen no track like that. I said, Bigfoot maybe? He kind of chuckled. He's like, good luck in your hunting. He's like, get some game cameras and put them out back. I said, I did. And then that's what he said, good luck in hunting. But, yeah, nobody believes. I mean, I don't know,
yeah,
like you say, who cares? Who cares, though? Who cares what they think? Proof.
Yeah.
If this would have been a crime scene, that would have been enough to convict somebody right there. You know what I mean? So,
that's the thing. And like I said, I don't give a damn if anybody believes me. I know what I've seen. I'll take it to the grave with me regardless. I'd be willing to take a lie detector test. You know, I put my hand on a stack of Bibles. I know what I've seen, and like I said, I'll go to my grave knowing it. It ain't never going to change my mind. I don't care how many people say he ain't real or whatever. You know, that's the way it is.
But and, like I told the guys last time, I'm sorry, Kevin, but this thing's smart, too, because I was actually today, I got home pretty early today, earlier than I thought, so that one Bigfoot show was on today, and I'm watching it, that one where they had that video before the Patterson film where that guy, when he was a young kid, his dad supposedly filmed that one jumping on rocks. And you can see it. I believe that was one. I believe it was real. But
yeah,
you could see it hopping on the rocks where it's not trying to leave its footprints. And that's what I was saying when the day that it had left the footprints on the backyard here.
Yeah,
it was real patchy snow. And Marco Bill, I texted him. I don't know. I hope he got the video, but he could see where it's patchy because you couldn't see where it come in onto the snow. And then when it exited, because the way our house is and the way the sun comes around, our snow, it don't melt like the exposed field around us. So this thing, obviously, it was smart and it knew to stay out of the snow, you know what I mean? But when he come across the back, that's what I said, he had no choice but to go back through here. He couldn't go around the front. It was too lit up. He had to go through here. And then my neighbor behind me kind of, he put up a fence last summer, so he has to go through here. I mean, this is the only way for him to get back up into that field.
Well, I had a buddy that actually had an encounter, and he actually had a bad encounter when he was a younger fella, which he's passed away now, rest his soul, you know. But when he was a younger fella, he was going to draw water out of the well, and the well was in the woods. And he walked down there, and he had a bucket in his hand. And he said it was kind of dusk, you know, almost dark. And he said he was bent over getting water out of the well, and something grabbed him. And he said he got up and tried to take off running, and he said he turned around, this thing was grunting and everything, and he said he ripped his shirt off getting away from him. And he said it was at least 7-8 foot tall. And he was a 70-year-old man when he told me this story, you know. And I mean, looking at his face and the way he talked, you know, you can pretty much tell a lot when somebody's lying. And this guy was, you know, I could tell he was really serious about this. I mean,
but
you know,
But I'm thinking too, because like I say, we're kind of rural residential. So basically, on the whole backside of our house, we didn't have no curtains on our kitchen window. The window above the sink, and then we got the double sliding doors that go back to the back porch. We didn't even have curtains there, but I've got a 2-year-old boy, and then my 4-month-old boy. When he was born, we thought, well, let's, because the light and stuff coming in here. So I went ahead and put some of these curtains up too. So I'm thinking too, maybe, I mean, I don't know. I might be reaching out there. I'm just trying to find out why I walked back there, too. This could be it, too. I mean, maybe it's always, you know, every now and then come by and look through the back window there. But since I put these...
Well, one of our encounter experiences we had, Robert, one of the encounter experiences we had within the last couple of months, the guy was in shaving in his bathroom, and a great big old face showed up on the bathroom window.
Oh, really?
Next to the mirror, right?
Okay.
And was fogging it up.
But I'm thinking,
and it was
I'm
watching him shave, and he just about...
Well, I was joking with my wife, though, and I'm thinking, I said, that's probably what that thing pissed over him in the backyard. He was pissed off because he couldn't stay in the house no more or something. I don't know. It's just, it's real weird. I don't know. Like
and
I say,
a lot of
I mean...
happened. Well, we're sort of kind of getting in there, good guys. I do want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight and sharing. I appreciate all of your experiences, and I welcome you all to our Bigfoot family, and we'll keep in contact with everybody. You know how to keep in contact with me. I've sent Robert and Kevin, I've sent you some links and other things. I'll keep in touch with you, and if you want, keep in touch with me. Anytime you need to call me, just give me a call. And for Swede, Rocky, and for Anthony and Dave, thanks so much for coming on. Christian had to go to bed. Past his bedtime.
He ain't got no school tomorrow. It's going to be closed for the snow.
No, I know, but it's past his bedtime, so he's a good. He's really a good guy, and he's been with us for a while now. He's in, for 13 years old. I think he's pretty savvy.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you everybody for coming on.
Yeah,
we're going to have another show
next
week.
Respecting my story, you know, I really appreciate it.
Well,
I believe you.
You don't have to respect your story. It's to me, it's true. I mean, you don't got to worry about it. We've had enough experiences where we're well aware of what's out there.
Yeah,
it's just trying to make other people aware of the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
thank
you
all for coming
on. I really enjoyed it.
Well, we're very happy that you did come on, both Robert and Kevin. Thank you.
Thank
you. Good night now. We're going to just keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Good night,
good night
now.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Rocky.
Good night.
Good night, Bullwinkle.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're all together.